Well, I think I heard that they were getting tired of seeing bald heads. So they thought they would get a little bit of relief, and that's the reason they put me up here. It is that I'm good that I'm so good looking. You know, had this experience about 3 weeks ago. The story really happened. I'm not exaggerating. I went to a city hospital, and I pushed a button for the elevator, and I was getting ready to step on, and there were two ladies on the elevator, and I said, "Ladies," I said, "you don't mind if a good-looking guy rides with you, do you?" And I stepped to go in, and this lady said, "well, where is he?" It really damaged my ego. That I get in the elevator like this, and the doors were closing, and here was this guy on the outside. "Here I am! Here I am!" I could not believe that. Oh, I sure have fun with this. And I'm glad to share with you this morning. Communion, a complete ministry of Jesus. Communion, it's a spiritual ritual that we do at church. I remember it first when I was a little kid. Some refer to it as a holy sacrament. I think, is it more than that? Is it more than just a ritual, or call it a holy sacrament? You know, I have communion with my wife. I commune with her. I connect with her. Both of us enjoy sitting on the couch at the end of the day. I'll get home, and we'll sit there, and sometimes we'll watch the Cavs. That's a whole lot better than Penn State. Sometimes we'll just sit there up next to each other and talk. Sometimes she'll just tell me how much she appreciates being my wife and proud of what I do. And sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just tell her of how special she is. And I'm very grateful for the fact that she is my wife. We have communion. You see, I think Jesus somehow wants us to sit on the couch and have communion, remembering who he is, what he's done, what he is doing, yes, and what he's going to do. Yeah, he was talking to the disciples the night before his death, and we need to remember this. It was one of those times that probably felt a little awkward, and the disciples didn't understand what was going on. He said to them in the middle of the night, here talking, "Do this in remembrance of me." I once heard a message that I won't forget. It grabbed me, called "The Three Tenses of Salvation." It made me I think better capture the whole meaning of communion. First of all, he talked about the past ministry of Jesus, or salvation as a past event. I have been saved. Romans 5, 1 and 2. I like this verse. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's saying, I have been saved. It's a completed event in the past. When I embraced what was done at the cross by faith, and I took it for me, I have been saved. It's a completed past action. I have been declared righteous by the God of the universe. I've been declared righteous. Therefore, the penalty of my sin has been paid. I don't have to worry if I'm going to hell. No, the penalty has been saved. It's like a signed document in heaven. I've paid for his sins. Sometimes the theologians refer to this as justification, and all that means is I have been declared righteous. Let me say it again. It's an event in the past when by faith I embraced what was done for me at the cross. Some time ago I read a book called Search for Significance. McGee was the author of that book, and I was with Dan Osepic this week, and Dan remembers very well a quote from that book. And I said, Dan, write it out for me, and he did, and here it is. Goes along with, I have been saved. I have been declared righteous. I have great worth apart from my performance, because Christ gave his life for me. Therefore, I am deeply loved, fully forgiven, totally forgiven, accepted, and complete in Christ. Yes, I have been saved. Past. Okay, but then there's another tense. It's the present tense, the present ministry of Jesus. I am being saved. It seemed contradictory, because back here it said I have been saved, but in the present, I am being saved. Sanctify them by the truth. This is John 17, 17 through 19. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This is a high priestly prayer of Jesus. He's praying to the Father, even after the Last Supper, or close in proximity, that when he did the things there. He says, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I am being saved. If we want to talk about the theological word, we would say it's sanctification. Becoming righteous is a process. I'm declared righteous here. And now I'm becoming what I've been declared to be. I like this statement. He is molding our minds. He is cleansing our hearts. I can say Christ is helping me deal with the power of sin over me. I love this verse. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. There's some version that says, God forbid. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Because we are being saved. Let me illustrate it for you. I was born in a little place called Clay Hole, Kentucky. Anybody here of Clay Hole, Kentucky? No. It was a hole. Born in my grandfather's house. They said I weighed just a little over 4 pounds. I have a birth certificate that says I was born to Ashford and Georgia Combs in Clay Hole, Kentucky. I was the son of Ashford and Georgia Combs. 4 pounds, few ounces. I have an uncle that was there the day I was born. He says I was the ugliest baby he ever saw in his life. I think that's a terrible thing to say about somebody as good looking as I am. Yeah. Did I look like my dad? No. Did I act like my dad? No. But I had a birth certificate that said I was his son. I had his DNA in my body. But I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do things. All they had was a 4 pound, few ounce little boy. That said he was their, the birth certificate said he was their son. I was declared their son. But as time went on, I was becoming more of a son. Because I learned to walk. I learned to talk. I learned to do things. Now when I go to family reunions, and my dad's been gone for 15 years, I have a hard time talking about my dad. And I have relatives that'll say to me, every time I see you, you look more like your dad. Ooh. I want to look like my dad. Okay. There's a birth certificate that says I was the son of Ashford and George Combs. Then, you see, growth took place until today they say I look like Ashford Combs. I like this. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's still working on me. The little song says, to make me what I ought to be. Yeah. God's not finished with me yet. He's still working to let all of the genetic things that I have, because I've been born again into the family of God, all of those likenesses to come out. I had a college professor And when he talked about I am being saved, or the big word sanctification, he said, it's the Christianizing of the Christian. I like that. Okay, I have been saved. I am being saved. Future. That's the third tense. I will be saved. It's the future ministry of Christ. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Finished product. I look forward to that. When he say, complete, you look just like me. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I like the idea that the process has been completed. And when we get there, oh, how great. I have a little book that I often use called Jesus is Calling. It's by Sarah Young. And I felt one of the things that she wrote, I think it was about Friday, I read it. Let me read it for you. Bask in the luxury of being fully understood and unconditionally loved. Dare to see yourself as I see you, radiant in my righteousness, cleansed by my blood. I view you as the one I created you to be, the one you will be in actuality when heaven becomes your home. It is my life within you that is changing you from glory to glory. Rejoice in this mysterious miracle. Thank me continually for the amazing gift of my spirit within you. One day, it will be complete. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. The bread and the cup are a picture of the past ministry of Christ on the cross. Last week, Pastor Jeff focused on that part of communion. That same night, he took a bread and he broke it. And he said, as oft as you eat this, remember what I did for you on the cross. Remember my broken body. He took the cup. This is my blood. As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. He wants to commune with us. Today, we're looking at the feet washing. What he did for us, what he instituted for us. If you'll look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, gives us the story here of what is happening. Jesus knew that the Father, we're beginning with verse 3, had put all things under his power. God was in control. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. It says he took off his outer clothing. And it says he wrapped a towel, maybe something like this. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that he did that, it says he poured water into a basin. And he began to wash the disciples' feet, one at a time. Now, normally, this is what the servant does at the door. People come in with sandals and dirty feet, and it was just what a host should provide, a servant to wash feet. There hadn't been a servant at the door. Jesus, in the middle of the meal, this is not when it happens, goes around and is washing their feet. And it says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Duh. I've washed all the others' feet. Of course I'm going to wash your feet. Peter was impetuous. You can see him here. And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. You know, that is such a true statement. So many times I've not understood what God was doing, and later I've understood. Peter reacts. No! I probably said it that way, impetuous Peter. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Now, you need to understand, this is more than just being a nice servant. He's trying to get something more across here. Because he says, you shall never wash my feet. Yeah, but now Peter says, not just my feet, but my hands and my head. You know, he goes from one extreme to the other. Okay, get it here and get to throw the water all on it because I want a bath. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said, not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, it says he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He said, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord? Rightly so. He says, because that's what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent me. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus ministers to me today, not just yesterday. Jesus ministers to me today, not just yesterday. I think that the feet washing is a picture of the present ministry of Christ. What's going on? Of course, it's evident that Peter didn't understand. He didn't understand that somehow Jesus was talking about daily cleansing. Daily cleansing that he provides for us as we get our feet dirty on the road of life. We need them washed. Let me think of it this way. Jesus is the serving Savior. There's no question that he was serving his disciples, that the serving our world, serving me. How does he do that? Well, let me point out some ways. He does it by giving us grace. I like this verse, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. And oh, do we need mercy. And find grace. Oh, grace again, I need it. To help us in the time of need. I'm glad that the name of our church is Grace Church. God is always giving grace. It's a gift. And he serves us by giving us grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Oh my. He gives us grace. He serves us in that way, and then he serves us by loving us unconditionally. These are familiar verses. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. For God so loved Bob Combs, ugly little baby. And he still gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I like this part. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I caught you again. You're so bad. No, no, no. That's not the heart of God. He serves us by loving us unconditionally. But to save the world through him. He serves us by giving us grace. He serves us by loving us unconditionally. Do you accept that love? He serves us by loving us. A theologian from the past, Karl Barth, he is from Europe, was asked one time to talk on the greatest theological thought that ever come across his mind. And he got up and said, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus, the serving Savior, he gives us grace. He serves us by doing that, by loving us unconditionally, by providing us with security. Do you know, we have been scarred, abandoned many times, and we feel so scared and so insecure. But he provides us with security. I love this passage. I think Paul kind of runs out of words here. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Ooh, I like communing with that. I can sit on the couch with that. Ooh. And he wants us to do that. He wants us to know that is true. No separation. None whatsoever. Jesus, the serving Savior, but Jesus, the cleansing Savior. I want us to get this. I think this is a lot of what feet washing is about. I believe that Jesus knew that Peter would need his feet washed every day. By the way, so do I. So do you. We need our feet washed every day. How does he do that? Let me make some suggestions. By revealing his truth to us. By revealing his truth to us. We need to keep rinsing our minds with God's truth. We need to keep marinating what we think in God's truth. This is Ephesians 5. It's the passage that deals with marriage, and the marriage of husband and wife is being compared with the marriage of Jesus with his bride, the church. And so he's talking about how the husband treats the bride and talking about his bride, the church. He says, to make her holy. That's becoming. I am becoming saved. To make her holy. Cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Oh, keep rinsing the mind with the truth of how much I'm loved by God, of how much I'm pursued by God. Get a hold of that truth. Keep running it through to rinse out the lies. I like this, John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I often refer to this in John 8:44. Where it says, you are your father, the devil, who is a murderer and a liar and the father of lies. Satan is always wanting us to believe his lies. And many of us do. Many of us do. I was getting off an elevator last night at the hospital. I'd gone up to see somebody that was kind of an emergency. And so I got off. Why, here was a guy that I knew. And I went up with him, and his wife was there in the hospital. She had threatened to take her life. She hadn't been to church in a long time. She had been rinsing her mind with the truth of the Word of God. And so there's more lies there than there is truth. Ooh. You see, he wants to keep revealing his truth to us. I need that desperately because I'm exposed to a lot of lies. Dealing with our daily sins. Not just revealing his truth to us, but dealing with our daily sins. And I have them daily. 1 John 1:9. You're familiar with this verse. Many of you are. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. And some version says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. I need coming back to that. I often say, we're only as sick as our secrets. Sometimes we don't want to own our sins. In our guilt and shame, we keep them in a hidden place where nobody can find them. We don't confess them. And they're like an infection that eats away at us. Huh. See, Jesus wants to touch us at our filthiest point. Jesus wants to touch us at our filthiest point. At our weakest point. Do you know something? I heard this just this week. When we demean ourselves, we are demeaning God. Because I'm his creation. I was made in his image. Satan would be the one that want us to demean God. And he doesn't want us to get our feet washed. He wants us to believe the lies. Jesus, the cleansing Savior, revealing his truth, dealing with our daily sins, using us in one another's lives. Let's go back to Peter. Now that our Lord and Teacher have washed your feet, Peter, and you, James and John, you also should wash one another's feet. Here's the point. Using us, you, me, in one another's lives. How does he do that? When we encourage someone with truth and love. Yep. How does he do that? When we confront a friend with grace and truth. You know what? I've had my feet washed hundreds of times by people. And I hope I've done hundreds of feet washings. I remember when I was going through one of the toughest times in my life. I just wanted to get back in the corner of my bedroom and sit there and cry. And there's a guy that was in my church that time named Claude Kraft. Never forget Claude. I called him Lottie Claudie. He had such a southern accent that I couldn't understand all the time what he was saying. Lottie Claudie made good money. He liked to take people out to eat. He came and said, Pastor, I'm going to take you and buy you a steak. I said, I don't want to buy a steak. I don't want a steak. Just let me sit here and cry. He said, Pastor, you're going to go get you a steak. I'm going to buy it for you. He drugged me. That day, Claude washed my feet. Because I desperately needed that. I remember when in my ministry people were questioning me whether or not I was fit for ministry, whether or not I could be trusted. And there's a pastor that said, I'll take a risk on him. I believe him. I trust him. If that pastor hadn't done that, I'm not sure I'd be standing here today. He washed my feet. There's a guy that's affected my life here in Akron a lot named Dave Fair. I went to Dave Fair one time and I told him something I was going to do. I said, I've got to do it. I thought it was scriptural. Remember, Dave said, Bob, that's not the truth. You can't do that. Bob, don't do that. I listened to Dave Fair. Praise God. He washed my feet. You see, Jesus lives in me. If you know Jesus, He lives in you. He's resident in you. You're His arms. You're His legs. You got a feet washing ministry. At least you ought to have. There's a new pastor in town. Had lunch with him a couple weeks ago. He moved from Northern California to here. He's got a son that's a quarterback. He was a quarterback on the high school team. His high school. And there was a game in which the coach had changed the number and the shirt of a boy that was ineligible to play. The coach wanted him to play, so he was going to make it till they wouldn't recognize that he was playing. The young man, the son of the pastor, knew this was wrong. According to the rules of the league, he was ineligible to play. And he went to the ref and he said, there's a boy that's going to play today that shouldn't be playing. He's ineligible to play. The ref went to the coach and says, that's true. And the coach admitted it. And then he benched the quarterback. The quarterback sat on the bench the whole game. His mother looked down, could watch his body as he wept. When the family moved from California to this area, the young man said goodbye to the coach. The coach said, you were right. I was wrong. I think that young man learned something about feet washing. You see, God wants to use all of us in His present ministry. Yes, He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to be a part of His cleansing ministry too. Let me ask you some questions. First of all, Have you come to the cross? Have you come to the foot of the cross and seen Jesus? His broken body, shed blood. Have you embraced that for you? Have you gotten the path? You're the only one who knows that. He wants you to come there. Let's say you have. But you got dirty feet. Will you let somebody wash you? Or are you going to keep them hidden? Let the infection go on and eat at you. Are you going to be a feet washer? Or are you going to say, God, here's my hands. They're yours. God, here's my legs. They're yours. Here's my mouth. I want you to use me. You know what I believe? Jesus' way is the best way to live. Let's pray.